Welcome back, Michael Warren Thomas. It's Discover the Finger Lakes at SaberLife.com, and a lovely, lovely day. The snow is so light that it is sitting on branches, and several people posted photos from Harriet Hollister Park last weekend, which also had snow on the branches, and just beautiful in the woods this time of the year, whether you get whether it's the trees, you know, in your yard or your neighbor's yard or the park down the street, it is it's really, really gorgeous. And also saw an article at BBC.com about the Corning Inc., not the Corning Museum of Glass, but Corning's work on producing the bottles for the vaccines. And it's kind of a fascinating article. The title of it is "The Tough Little Bottles Crucial to Fighting COVID." Just posted a couple days ago at BBC.com. And there are several companies making bottles for or vials for the vaccines, but Corning's are kind of fascinating. They're using something they invented called Valor Glass, which is kind of similar to, I think it's referenced in the article, is the Gorilla Glass of pharmaceuticals. And Gorilla Glass is something else that Corning developed. And, you know, most people, including me, I when I think of Corning, I think of the Corning Museum of Glass, which is one of the great museums in the world. It's really amazing. We'll talk a little bit about it, but check out this article if you're interested in the technical or manufacturing side of Corning and what's happening in our area. They're doing some really fascinating things, and these bottles are exceptionally tough. And they have to withstand some kind of crazy temperatures, way more than what I realized. So you've probably read that some of these vaccines, like Pfizer's, have to be stored at minus 80 degrees Celsius, which is not easy to do, and it is one of the limitations in these vaccines. Not every hospital or country has, you know, a way to roll out vaccines. They have to be kept at those temperatures. But again, the glass has to be able to withstand that. And this Valor Glass is actually can take temperatures between minus 180 Celsius and 400 degrees Celsius. Partly because they have to be sterilized to around 350 degrees Celsius by the pharmaceutical companies. So an amazing range of temperatures for these little glass vials. They also have a coating on the outside which reduces friction when they're being moved in kind of a assembly line to fill them, and this polymer also reduces glass dust that could could happen from just the jostling of these little vials. There's tons of other quite a few other details about it that are they're kind of fascinating. Look at the technology behind something as simple as this little bottle. And Corning is building a new factory, I think, in North Carolina to produce even more of these. But again, BBC.com, check out this article about Corning Inc. and the role that it's playing in the rollout of the vaccines. And if you run into interesting articles about our region or some really cool photos, please send me a link, michael@saverlife.com. Love to hear from our listeners and get some suggestions on places to go, things to see. And, you know, with the snow right now, if you've been thinking about cross-country skiing, this might be a great time to take that up or experiment with it. You can rent skis from some local shops. And in general, cross-country skis are relatively inexpensive to purchase. Usually you buy the skis, the boots, and if you've done downhill skiing and you're worried about the prices because the prices of downhill ski boots and skis and bindings are exponentially more than cross-country. And actually, one ski shop many years ago referred to the cross-country skiers, it was pine cone eaters, is it was just this bizarre term that they fondly talked about cross-country skiers that would come in, partly because they just didn't spend as much money as the downhill skiers in buying equipment, and you don't need to. It's been challenging the last few years to have very many good days of cross-country skiing, but we had a decent layer of wet snow that's now frozen, and now some lighter snow on top of it, so that gives a good base. It keeps you from skiing on the rocks, and places like Menden Ponds are excellent for skiing. Some friends who are down at Harriet Hollister said that they groom the trails down there, but watch out for snowmobiles on some of the main trails. Bristol Mountain has groomed trails up at the top for cross country that you have to pay to access those, but nicely groomed trails, which makes it easier to keep your skis going straight and not crossing each other. But cross-country skiing is a great way to get outside, and the Cummings Nature Center is a nice place to do it. There are lots of cool places to go and cross-country ski. Skiing around Quaker Ponds at Menden Ponds is nice with not much in the way of hills, and put some sunflower seeds in your pocket to feed the chickadees when you go. But cross-country skiing is a great sport and a great way to get some exercise. I used to teach it for the Nordic Ski Club many years ago, and you can find some great videos online for how to have more fun cross-country skiing. A lot of people just kind of trudge along, and the idea is really to use some gliding motions, and that allows you to efficiently go further and really have more fun. And that's easier to do when there are some tracks. And often at Menden Ponds, you can follow other people's tracks, and that works pretty well. So and if you want suggestions, details on where to go, or want more information on any places that I mentioned, send me a note, michael@saverlife.com. And I forgot to mention, with the Cornyn Museum of Glass, if you head down that way, you can take 390 and get there in about an hour and 45 minutes. The museum is open. Masks and social distancing are important, but maybe on the way there, on the way back, visit a couple wineries, kind of explore the region, and come up Seneca Lake on the east side or the west side maybe, and even if you're not stopping in places, it's just kind of a pretty drive, and you get to see what's new, what new wineries have opened, things like that. So if you run into some interesting things, send me a note, michael@saverlife.com. We'll be back tomorrow with the wine show, the Grapevine, 9 a.m. tomorrow. And again, send me comments, questions, suggestions. Oh, I forgot to mention the Dutch Connection at the George Eastman Museum. I talked about it on the gardening show. That is now open through the end of February, the first flower show of the season, and hundreds of bulbs to see, and they'll smell amazing. It will brighten the darkest day to go over there and see those and become a member. Then you can go back a couple times a week maybe to see those flowers, or maybe every morning you stop in, and they're not going to be busy, especially on weekday mornings. So it's eastman.org. Get more details there. And again, through the end of the month, through the end of February, see the Dutch Connection at the George Eastman Museum and the new pavilion. It's the new entrance. There's a lot of new things to see when you go. We'll be back again tomorrow with a grapevine at 9 a.m. Michael Warren Thomas here at SaverLife.com.